So today we're going to be talking all about stories and the importance of being able to tell stories. Stories have been part of humanity forever, and our brains are literally better designed to absorb stories, much better than simple facts and figures. But it begs the question, how do you tell good stories? Today we're going to be giving you some nice tips on how to tell good stories in English, and I'm sure you're going to like them. Ah, yeah, citizens of the world, this is Thiago from Real Life English, where our mission is to guide you beyond the classroom to live your English in real life, to help you speak confident, natural English, connect to the world, and actually use your English as the doorway to your greatest life. I'm joined in the Global Studio today by the one and only Cassie. Hey, Cassie, what's up?
Hey, Thiago, all good. Hey, guys.
Awesome. Cassie, I thought it'd be nice for us to start today with a little game. Mm-hmm. And the game is called One Word at a Time Story. Mm-hmm. Now, I have selected here five nouns for us to use. So Okay. We're going to be using the words arrogance, evidence, laughter, sewer, and trousers. Mm-hmm. So arrogance, evidence, laughter, sewer, and trousers. Mm-hmm. The idea is I start with a word, I start the story, and then you give me another word that moves the story along. And then we go like this. It's a back and forth, one word at a time, but we gotta use these words in order. Once we have used all the five words, then we can just go ahead and conclude the story. Okay. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Are you ready?
I'm not sure if I am, but let's go.
All right. Story time. Yesterday,
I
saw
a
very
strange
man.
Full stop. The
thing
that
caught
my
attention
was
that
he
had
an
incredible
air
of
arrogance.
Woo, 1 point. Maybe we can add a full stop here, yeah, to continue. After
5 minutes, I
found
evidence
that
he
was
actually
funny.
Full stop. He
was
actually
telling
jokes
and
performing
in
a
restaurant.
Laughter
filled
the...
You say the?
Yeah.
I can say place.
Unfortunately,
a
rat
came
from
the
sewer
and
disrupted
the
performance
by
crawling
into
his
trousers.
We did it.
Okay, I think we got it, right?
I think
period.
We got it.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Ooh, man. I mean, we did it, right?
What a bizarre night.
The cool thing I found about that was that it was almost like we were telekinesing.
Yeah.
Right, Cassie? Like, kind of setting up the next word, hoping that the other person will come up with the word you are thinking of, and exactly. The person does.
Yeah.
So that was really
That's
cool.
Awesome, actually. We rely on each other to, move the story forward. So you're actually paying more attention to what the person's saying. So you're right. It's almost like you're sending the words. Okay, this is where I'm going.
Guys, you guys out there, this is a great game, by the way, for you to play with your friends and family. So give it a try. One word at a time story. But now let's get into some practical tips here. One tip I have for you guys today about how to tell better stories in English is learn, study, practice, and master the narrative tenses in English. We have three narrative tenses. The past tenses, basically. Simple past, past continuous, and past perfect. Now, think about it this way. The past simple tense moves the story forward, always. It keeps the story going. For example, I walked, then I saw, then I went. You see? It's a series of steps, one after the other. But think about it. Yesterday, I went to the mall, and I was hungry. Then I ate something and went home. This is a very boring story because it's just using simple past. What am I doing here? Just talking about one event after the other. It's boring. How can you make this story more interesting? By working with the other two narrative tenses. Let's say past continuous, for example. Past continuous is useful to give a description of what was happening in our story at certain points. A description. It describes the scene. For example, I went to the mall yesterday and I was hungry. As I was waiting in line to get the food, I saw this man standing on top of a table and yelling. You see? As I was waiting, this man was standing and yelling. This is past continuous. It's just giving you a description of this scene. Now you can picture this scene with me, right? The man yelling. Now, you can also use past perfect in our story. Past perfect is great to give a more background information about your story because past perfect is the past of the past. It's a past action that happened before another past action. So to give background information is great. For example, yesterday I went to the mall and I was hungry because I hadn't eaten anything for 3 hours. You see? I'm giving you some context, some background information. And then I go on to describe the crazy man on the scene. But you see, I mean, if you learn how to combine these three tenses like that, you're going to have the basic fundamentals, basically, to tell a good story. A story that is compelling and that gets people actually interested in listening to. All right? So that's my tip for you guys today. Learn how to use these three past tenses well when telling your story. Notice that each one has a different function, okay? So you want to use them all to your advantage.
I love it because it's so true. I think in my journalism experience, this is the first thing you learn. You have to know how to report, obviously, what happened. And exactly like you said, you need those narrative tenses in order for people to understand what happened before, what's going to happen technically is what you're telling them. You know, I walked in and then, so you're sort of leading them, you're guiding them through, you know, towards the end, which is the main, I guess, the point. But what I want to add, you know, with my tip today is that, you know, once you're, you know, you've painted the picture with, you know, the narrative tense, you want to add something, you want to add facts. And this is when we use direct speech. So this could be in writing, when you're reading a book and you're, you know, there's a story and then you hear, then Little Red Riding Hood said, "Grandma, what big ears you have." And you know she's talking about the wolf, but when you think about, you know, this little girl speaking to her grandmother saying, "Grandma, what big ears you have, what chopped teeth you have." I mean, this is like, you can just literally feel it instead of hearing that, or reading that, then she said to her grandmother, "What big teeth she had." You know, it's like, it's distant, it's separate. But when you're using the direct speech, it brings you closer to what was actually happening at that point in time. Mm. And we can think about, you know, important speeches that, you know, presidents or politicians make, or leaders, or anyone, when you're reporting on what the person actually said, it's just, I don't know, it's factual. You cannot argue with the words that came directly from someone else's mouth.
Well, that is interesting, Cassie. So what you're saying is that we should actually quote the people in the story, what they actually said, because that allows you to convey emotion in your story as well. That's fascinating, actually.
Yeah, so you're not just, you know, sharing your version of what happened. You're saying exactly what the person said. In essence, the main point or the main benefit of using direct quotes, direct speech, is to add that boldness, add that authenticity to what you're saying. This is not just random words. This is the words of the person involved in the story.
That's awesome. Yeah. So to apply your tip to my story earlier, for example, I could maybe impersonate the crazy guy that was shouting in the mall, right?
Exactly.
And I could actually share what he was yelling about, yeah? So I could go maybe, oh, there was this crazy man standing on the table and yelling. And he was yelling, I hate salad. I hate salad. And exactly. Like that, right? Yeah. Awesome, guys. So, you know, we have the narrative tenses that kind of structure the story, but also that's an amazing tip, right? It reminds me of that classic rule that writers abide by, which is show, don't tell, right? Try to show, not tell. So if you can picture an image and make me see it and imagine it with my mind, that's better than simply telling what happened, right? That's amazing. We do have more things about telling stories to discuss today, but I think that now is a perfect moment, Cassie, for a shout out to one of our followers.
All right, so today's shout out goes to one of our viewers who says, my IELTS speaking exam is today and I chose this app for my English improvement and really it helped me a lot. I didn't have confidence to talk English with strangers, but now I can fluently speak to anybody in English.
Wow.
Really nice.
That's incredible.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, congrats. And dear listeners and viewers, in case you are not listening to this podcast on the Real Life English app, we highly recommend you download and try the Real Life English app, because with the app, you can connect with any learner at the touch of a button to have a short 4 to 8 minute conversation and practice your speaking skills, just like this viewer here is practicing their speaking skills with the app. Also with the app, you can listen to our Real Life English podcast, but we also give an interactive transcript so you can read along and see the actual words we are using, one word at a time. And we also give you some flashcards for you to practice and improve vocabulary. By the way, the app is free to download and try. I'm going to leave the link to the app here in the description of this video if you're watching us on YouTube. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcasting platform, the link will be on the show notes. And you can also go to Google Play Store or Apple App Store, search for Real Life English, and download the app from there. All right, Cassie. So I actually have here a very nice clip from an interview on the Tim Ferriss podcast. And I thought, you know, we could actually watch an interview where somebody's sharing a story that she experienced. And we can actually break down some language here and also analyze how she is telling the story. Okay, by the way, the guest here is Sarah Silverman. She's a famous comedian. And I thought, you know, it'd be nice to expand on how to tell a story by watching a clip.
And then after my first special, which was a stand-up movie, actually, I didn't get a special with anyone, but the guy from Interscope was like, I'll make a movie. And Jesus's Magic was my first special. It came out like a movie. And after that, I had to start over. Like, that was my first special. So it was the best of everything I had ever done.
Right.
Now I had nothing. I had done it as a one-woman show for a few years. And then it came out in like 2004 or 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been working with all that material for so long.
All right. So basically here, Sarah is sharing a little bit of her story, how she got started with comedy, what happened when she released her first comedy special, and how she felt after that. Right? Because, you know, I think she had to create new material and she felt kind of stuck for a while. Cassie, I have to mention that she did exactly what you just recommended just now, right? She quoted the guy from the studio. Yeah?
Exactly.
She says, I'll make a movie, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll make a movie.
So she actually quoted with the emotion what he said. This is a great way to tell a story, as we have already discussed. I want to point out here the pronunciation of the Interscope. She doesn't pronounce it Interscope. We have here this NT combination. Usually, especially in American English, the T is dropped. So we just say Interscope. And that's how she pronounces it. But I thought it was interesting that she used exactly what you just recommended.
I also thought it was quite interesting. I was actually going to mention that earlier. Like, I think anytime you want to elicit like some kind of emotion from someone, I think when you're sort of repeating or relaying the message in the direct words, like you just did with the man in the salad, like it's funny, it's it's interesting. It makes me want to know more about this crazy man that's shouting these crazy words. But yes, exactly.
Can I say, she talks about stand-up here, right? She's talking about her first comedy special, which was a stand-up movie. In this context of comedy, what is stand-up?
So a stand-up performance would be done by a single person. So one person telling jokes, performing their stories or their jokes to an audience. So this would be a stand-up comedy show or a stand-up movie in this case.
And she says that she had to start over. After her first comedy special, she felt like she had to start over. What does that mean when you start over?
Well, it means to redo. She felt like she had to go back to basics. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I think I believe she says that she felt like, you know, in that first comedy special, she used all she had back then, all the jokes she had created, everything. And now it was like you said, square one, she had to start creating new material if she wanted to keep releasing stuff. And here we have a very nice case of past perfect being used, as I explained earlier in the podcast. Because, you know, look at this phrase, guys. She says, that was my first special. You see, so we have here a past simple tense, right? Citing the primary point. That was my first special. So it was the best of everything I had ever done. Remember that the past perfect is the past of the past. So before her first special, everything she had ever done was used. You see, we can see the past perfect being used there. And then she continues, I had done it as a one-woman show. You see, again, I had done it because, you know, the primary context there is already specified. My first special. That was my first special, right? And she uses the past perfect continuous a little bit later as well. So I had been working with all that material for so long. I had been working up until that point when her first special came out. You see, so we can see here this idea of giving background information to her story. Let's keep watching the rest of the interview and see what else she shares.
And then I just kept doing it a little bit.
After it came out.
Yeah, I just didn't know what to do because I had a real identity crisis, and it was a great moment of growth in a way because people didn't want to see the same material. I had to write new material, but in order to do that, I had to disappoint audiences.
Right.
I had to start over.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, that crisis she mentions, eh? Like, oh, I got nothing left. I have to create new stuff now.
Exactly.
Cassie, right? She says here, a one-woman show. But why is one woman hyphenated here? Why is there a hyphen there?
What happens when you hyphenate the word one and woman, you're basically creating a compound adjective. So the word one modifies the word woman. And basically together, it creates a new meaning. So now we have a whole new word that means a solo woman, like a woman on her own performing to a crowd or to an audience.
I find it fascinating. And it modifies the noun show in this case as well, right? Because think about it. What type of show are you talking about? I'm talking about a one-woman show. It's almost like the two words, one woman, becomes one word, right? It's one adjective. Another example I can think of is a baby who is 2 years old could also be referred to as a two-year-old baby. You see, a two-year-old, even though I have three words here all hyphenated, is like I'm treating them as one word. Mm-hmm. What kind of baby are you talking about? Oh, a two-year-old baby. That's what a compound adjective does. Yeah, find it fascinating. Moving on to some pronunciation here, there is this really cool phrase that she says. She says, and then I just kept doing it a little bit.
Then I just kept doing it a little bit.
First of all here, the T for just is kind of dropped or pronounced as a stop consonant, we say. We say just. And then the T for kept also goes away. We hear kept. So just kept. And then doing it, the T for it, again, it depends. I mean, right now I am pronouncing it as a stop consonant, doing it. But notice that I have a vowel right after the article A. So in that case, I can connect the T with the A using that flap sound, the da da sound. And that's what she does. She goes, doing it, doing it. And the A is a schwa sound, So doing it a little bit, doing it a little bit. The T for bit, also a stop consonant. So bit, bit. Putting it all together, we hear, I just kept doing it a little bit. I just kept doing it a little bit. But I love how she says that phrase because, you know, if you look at the clip again, her mouth is kind of crooked, you know, like twisted like this, you know, to the side. You know, she's being funny. And then she goes something like, I just kept doing it a little bit. Just kept doing it a little bit like that.
Then I just kept doing it a little bit.
So I love the way she says that. She also mentions identity crisis. How would you break down the pronunciation here, Cassie?
Yeah, so here she uses the stop T for the T in the middle of identity. So she doesn't pronounce that T in the middle. So she says identity, identity. And then crisis. So identity crisis. So in this case, she just basically emphasizes that middle S in crisis. So it's crisis. It's a little bit louder, more emphasis on that first S.
Identity crisis.
So it is important to point out here that she pronounces the S as an S, crisis. But we are talking specifically here about American English, all right? Mm-hmm. Identity crisis. Depending on the region and the country, you might hear some people going Z, maybe crisis, all right? Mm-hmm. But in this case here, since she's American, we hear a clear S, identity crisis, all right? Mm-hmm. Similar thing happens to the word disappoint. Notice that the S there is also pronounced as an S sound, disappoint, instead of disappoint with a mm-hmm. Z sound. She pronounces the T here, but very lightly, you know, we hear disappoint audiences, very lightly. So that is one possibility. You can pronounce the T, or other people might just drop that T and make it more of a stop T, disappoint audiences. So either way, both are common. All right, so now it's time for the big challenge of the day. And the big challenge of the day is create a story with the words geometry, performance, and thanks. Geometry, performance, thanks. Create a short story, maybe a paragraph long, using those words. You can leave us a comment here on YouTube if you're watching us on YouTube. You can also send us an email with your story at hello@reallifeglobal.com. And if you are feeling a little bit adventurous, if you prefer, you can also record a voice message of yourself reading your story. You can send your voice message to us at speakpipe.com/reallifeenglish. That is speakpipe, speakpipe.com/reallifeenglish, real life, double L. Make sure you keep the audio message short, 30 seconds or less. We really appreciate it. And now, Kelsey, before we conclude, I have here a couple of nice comments that were left in a previous episode that Ethan and I did. And in that episode, we were talking about the importance of doing something in your life that makes you feel good and relaxed. So the question we asked was, what is one activity you do or could start doing that makes you feel good, energized, and more relaxed? Could you please do the honors and read the comments here for us?
Sure, of course. So Celine WP, at Celine WP, says, when I am drawing or painting, time flies. I need it to blow off steam. Okay. I think that's an awesome way to blow off steam. So the next person says, the activity that makes me feel better is playing badminton. Louise Alexander, 1674, says, amazing, I don't have time. Equals, it's not a priority. You guys are amazing. I love how you talk about this kind of thing, which helps us. Not only do we learn English, but incredibly beneficial knowledge to use in our daily routine. You guys are just fascinating. Wonderful. Thank you, Louise Alexander.
All right, amazing. Thank you so much for the wonderful comments. And that's all we have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed these tips we gave you today on how to tell better stories in English. And stay tuned for next week's episode, which will be coming out
very
soon. All right? Thanks so much, guys. Kase, always a pleasure. Great to talk to you again.
Always good. Always good.
All right. So, 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
Hey again. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.